And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to our second show in the series covering World AIDS Day.
I'm Natalie.
And I'm Andy Thomas, and this is Shout Out Radio.
Today, Ivan will be talking to Rhys Thompson from the USA.
He's been living with HIV since the 1980s and is very kindly going to be telling us about his experiences.
And in event news, it's Hibernation Week this weekend. We'll be telling you all about it.
All that and more coming today right here on Shout Out. Hello, one and all.
Hello, Andy.
Good evening.
There's a Christmas tree in here. I'm allowed to say it now. You see, the boyfriend's had his birthday, which was last week.
Defines Christmas in your
we're
household?
We're not allowed to start Christmas till he's had his birthday.
Oh.
Well, that's fair, really.
Yeah, no,
it?
But just thinking of people born on December the 25th. When do they start Christmas? Yeah,
well, Mel,
oh,
the same
that's
day.
Sad, yeah. Isn't it?
I have a friend whose birthday is New Year's Day. So he has a big party every year. Genuine, honestly. So, hello, Andy, if you're listening.
Anyway, it is quite a nice tree.
It is. It's bright white with BCFM all over it. It's not what I'd have in my lounge, but it suits the studio, doesn't it?
So. Yeah. There's no baubles.
Has anyone done their Christmas shopping yet?
No.
Frequently change the subject, shall we? Now?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm sure I'll get round to it on Amazon sometime.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know, actually, I do a lot of my shopping online. It's a lot easier. It all just kind of turns up on the door, doesn't it? It's great.
So. Exactly.
And at work are quite good. They let you have it shipped there, so you haven't got to get home and get a car and go, oh, now I've got to go all the way down.
Very convenient shopping.
Basically shopping, you know, online shopping is the big growing thing rather than that.
No, I need to go out and shop. I'm very tactile. I like to touch and feel what I'm buying.
So we're told.
Oh, I'm co-presenting with you next week. Be prepared.
Oh, gosh. that's going to be our last normal show of the year, because then the one after that's the big Christmas show.
We have normal shows?
Well, this is a normal
that
show.
That comes as news.
Anyway, we'll say hello to listeners. If you're listening on BCFM 93.2, Bradley Stoke Radio 103.4, Glastonbury FM 107.1, Pirate Nation Radio, or of course Base Radio, or even online on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. Hello to all of you.
That's a lot to listen.
It is, yeah. Well, that's why we stopped putting it in the opening and closing jingle, because we kept running out of jingles.
I'm impressed you remembered all that.
I did, yes.
It's written down.
Don't give away. There's a reason why you don't have cameras in the studio. It's some people can't see things like that. So it's not broadcasting, it's security. Oh, I don't know.
So what's everyone thinking of weather at the moment?
What? Sorry?
The weather.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah.
But the M32 is like a waterfall into town. And full of cars. It's a queue from Almondsbury Interchange all the way into the city.
Oh, it's a normal evening then.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, that's our first event, couldn't it? Anyone can join. Just queue at the bottom of the M32 and climb your way out.
You make Bristol sound so exciting.
What, queuing on the M32?
Look, it's not always like that, you know, sort of weekends and evenings. Do come to Bristol. Do come and join in all the celebrations.
Yep, you can get in quite easily at 0300 every morning.
Awful.
Right, okay. But before we go off on too much of a tangent, should we get some real events?
Yes. Yeah.
So, Outshout, as we like to call it, our pick of the best events that are coming up.
Right, this is going to be
with a lovely Steffi.
You could be quiet now.
Oh, sorry.
Can I go now?
I was just... What was
the big builder.
I was bigging you up, as Pat would say.
And I'm loving the Super Trooper that's on me now. Not that it's very good for radio, but...
So what are we talking about this week? What have we got?
The Voyage. It's rather upmarket.
Is this on the M32 in the rain?
I have to dress the part. The Voyage Inn.
The Voyage.
Yes. It was like being on a boat driving down the M32, yes.
But it's nothing to do with that, is it, though?
Probably not. No. I could talk about the M32 for the rest of the
events. Tell us about the event. who's organising the voyage?
Right, Indigo. And,
Prosecco now, people.
It's top secret where the event is being held, and you'll only find out once you've bought your tickets and they email you.
We're just giving it away then, haven't we? You just told them it's at the bottom of the M32.
It's somewhere in Bristol or near.
Somewhere
in Bristol.
Somewhere.
Is this a bit like, because they did black, was it black and white last year? Is that kind of thing?
You get a choice of, well, you don't actually get a choice. They tell you whether you're silver or gold.
Right.
And that then tells you how you're going to dress.
Oh, you have to dress silver or gold?
There is a dress code for silver and not the colour. Is a dress code for silver and a dress code for gold.
So you haven't
gold,
got to wear lots of silver or gold then?
No.
Right,
no.
Okay.
The silvers are a bit... Did you see the movie Gangs of New York?
Yes. No.
Yeah, that you sort of dress. So braces and shirts, baggy trousers, bowler hats, the roughy-tufty look. That's silver.
What, and a stick with a dead rabbit?
Probably I wouldn't advise you bringing that, Natalie, but... and for gold, if you're gold, then you get to dress all posh and a bit like a spiv. None of you would remember what a spiv was, would you? That's a sort of, I think that's a 40s thing.
Well,
isn't it,
it was.
Is that in the Second World War? Somebody who was
sold
things in the black market. Yeah,
apparently. Yeah,
apparently.
But. But no, I'm obviously going back to what you're saying about Gangs of New York sort of thing. You know, they would wear the big hats, didn't they? And the big moustaches and...
Well, I guess if you're silver, you could get away with that. Gold seems to be, if you go on their Facebook page, which is which you can access from our site because the events are on there.
Cool, fab.
Their intro, I love their intro. I don't know who came up with the words for this. It certainly wasn't me. A horn blasts loud into the night.
Ooh.
People appear. Something glitters in the dark. Your feet tap to the heartbeats of strangers. A journey is about to begin.
That's scary.
This is Christmas, not Halloween.
Sorry. Yeah, I was going backwards. So that's being run by the Indigo Network. And the tickets are available from Eventbrite.
Okay, and how much are they?
No knowledge of that.
Okay.
I don't know the price because it's not here. I guess you've got to go on Eventbrite and find out.
Okay, because I know all the early bird ones have gone.
Oh, there's two stages.
Yes, both of those first two stages are gone. So you're just left with the last ones.
Okay, so does that mean you're all silver now? So you've got a dress as a bit of a rusty tufty?
I wouldn't know how they select that.
No. No, you're not part of the inner circle now, no?
No.
No.
No, okay, and this is a nice one. Am I allowed to say Thunder Pussy?
Yeah, or is
well,
it
you just then?
No, I can't, I'm not really allowed to say Thunder Pussy on air. No, okay, I won't say Thunder Pussy.
Bit late now.
It's hosted by the Palace in Bristol.
Is it a drag act?
It's the 11th of December at 10, and everyone knows the Palace. It leans slightly. So you can act drunk and feel drunk even though when you're not.
Actually, it's not the building that leans,
no,
it's the floor is slate. Yeah.
That's very true, yes, because it was a railway station, was it not? A hotel
was,
on the side of a railway station.
It was going to be, but
it
never took the line that far.
It was prospectively to be adjoining a railway station.
Yes, but the railway never come through. It's now a road, isn't it?
The railway station was actually built further down on Midland Road.
Well, it was Temple Meads that was going to extend to it.
No, it was the Midland Railway.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay, fair enough. I don't know.
She knows, she's an engineer.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, the history guys would know.
Yes. Should we call them in?
No,
Terry
right
would know.
Not right now. We're out of time. So.
Bye.
We have got more events coming up later, though. So if you want to hear all about hibernation, Bobby is going to be phoning in later to tell us all about it. But thank you very much, Steph.
You're welcome.
No, don't play with that one. I'm again.
What are you playing with again?
I don't know. Just.
Hey, this is Rick Koff from Where the Bears Are, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
The lovely Adele. I do like this song.
Like I say, I love it when she goes, hello, I just want to make Lana Richie in, though.
It's wearing well, isn't it?
It's holding up.
Yeah. Have you heard much of the new album?
Yeah, I love it. It's absolutely brilliant, the new album.
It's nothing like her previous stuff. There's lots of more kind of like upbeat tracks on it and the like, which is quite good.
Relatively upbeat, I think, is the word you need to use. Relatively.
Yeah. Are you a fan?
I liked her first two albums. I just haven't listened this time.
Oh, terrible? You haven't heard it yet? No, oh, it's worth it. It's worth guessing. I played a track the other week, one of her more upbeat ones, which is quite good. So
possibly one of the best clips on the internet at the moment is the YouTube clip of Graham Norton with Adele doing Adele. Have you seen that?
No.
They get a load of Adele impersonators in.
Oh yes.
And then they dress Adele as an Adele impersonator, and she sits there and goes, "Oh, I'm really nervous." And they're going, "Oh, don't worry, love. Don't worry, you'll be fine."
And then she actually sings
and
on stage.
And then she sings, and they all go, "Oh my god, it's her."
It's great. It's great.
It's really, really good.
Now, this is obviously the second show in our series for World AIDS Day, which was on the 1st of December. And our next report's coming from you, isn't it, Ivan?
It is, yes. I was very lucky to talk to a gentleman in Los Angeles, and he's been living with HIV for a very, very long time. In fact, he's probably one of the longest survivors of people living with HIV. Interesting.
For those that are older, this kind of, that dates back to the kind of the time when that horrible Tombstone advert was on. Was it 80s?
Well, probably, yes, but this, you know, he moved to Los Angeles in the late 70s. So anyway, you'll have to listen to what he has to say, because he has a very interesting story.
Well, have a listen to this.
Now, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you're unlikely to personally remember the abject horror and devastation that HIV and AIDS inflicted on the world during the 1980s and 90s, disproportionately but not totally affecting gay men. In fact, these days about 50% of infections are taken on by heterosexual people. Of course, living with HIV today is a life-changing condition, but it's manageable, much like diabetes, and those that have contracted the virus can expect to live a normal, healthy lifespan, thanks to modern medication, monitoring and treatment. Well, imagine being in your late 60s, not only living through those early years as a gay man, but also having contracted HIV early on too. Now, joining me in Los Angeles to talk about his very personal experience is Rhys Thompson. Rhys, thanks for talking to me today.
You're welcome, Ivan.
Rhys, I guess we should mention that you're not exactly from the US originally, are you? But you're from New Zealand.
Yes, I'm from New Zealand originally and lived in Australia and then ended up in the US in 78.
And when you finally got to the US in Los Angeles, you started, I guess, your career there by managing various restaurants. But you started going out and frequenting a particular club called Probe, didn't you?
Yes, it was the preeminent dance club in Los Angeles, and I started going about 1980, 1979 or 1980.
During that time, of course, the drug scene was pretty much coming to the fore in Los Angeles. It's particularly amongst gay men, did you found that you were drawn into that kind of culture?
Oh, definitely. You know, when you go to a dance club, you really can't dance unless you're high, or so I thought.
So you thought at the time. So, as is normal when people become addicted, I guess, you eventually hit rock bottom.
I hit rock bottom in, like, 1983. I had stopped working at Probe at that time, and had gone into partnerships with the owners of Probe in a restaurant on Melrose Avenue before it came trendy and hip, called the Starlight Cafe. I had a falling out with them because they didn't understand the restaurant business at all. We had a very bad departure from each other, if you want to term it that way. And so I was out of a job. I had also received a DUI.
Drink driving, we call in the UK.
I had to find a play, and I had to attend a drug and alcohol program once a week for a whole year. My partner had left me due to my drinking. My partner of 15 years. Couldn't afford to stay in the apartment I was in and had to kind of get a small bedsit place. After a while, I thought, oh, this is just crazy. So I thought, well, I might as well just quit drinking alcohol. And I'd been going to AA meetings more often just for company because I could not drive anywhere, particularly here in Los Angeles, which is a heavy drug culture. They always mention at the podium that in order to participate, you must identify yourself as an alcoholic, but you also must be clean and sober. And that little word clean never made any sense to me until I realized that I was still doing small doses of crystal meth and smoking pot. And I thought, well, if this is going to work, I have to give everything up.
You became very lucky, didn't you? Because at about the same time that you decided you were going to become, quote, clean and sober, you were offered a job at a well-known movie studio in Los Angeles.
Yes, that is correct. And it is so ironic that the day I made that decision was the day I was asked if I wanted to go in and interview for the job. I was hired as assistant director of food and beverage for the whole studio. Having had a hotel background, I treated the studio as a hotel. And when I went there, we were losing $500,000 a year. And by the time I finished, we were making $2 million a year.
So it sounds like you turned your life around really quickly. But you also decided to join a program at about that time, didn't you? Giving Blood and your time for AIDS research. How did you get involved with that?
I saw an advertisement in one of the gay newspapers here called Frontiers, asking for volunteers for men to join a program called the Multi-AIDS Cohort Study, which was to study the progression and life of the HIV virus. And by that time, I had seen enough people die from HIV because the only medicine around was AZT. And I thought, okay, let me do my bit for the study of HIV.
Tell me about the AIDS Project Los Angeles, because that was actually started by a woman, wasn't it?
Yeah, Nancy Cole. She was a straight woman, and she was a member of Probe. Probe was a private club. And one night, five of them got together, Nancy and four other guys, and decided something had to be done to help the people with HIV.
Who was there to help people? Because it sounded like the government wasn't helping. Who were the main people that were helping?
Individuals, particularly the lesbian community, really came to the fore, because before that, gay men and gay women really didn't commingle. But we all had lesbian friends. But once they started seeing the ravages of HIV, well, it wasn't even called HIV in those days. They didn't know what to call it. It was called GRID or something. They really came to the fore and helped look after the gay men that were dying.
You lost a lot of friends, some of them through HIV, stroke AIDS, as we now know it's called. Some of them committed suicide. How did that affect you?
It was an horrific time in my life, because as well as losing a partner of 15 years and a partner of 9 years, within that same basically 1 year period, my mother passed away. So I was left with nobody, basically, because everybody I'd lived with for most of my life had died. And with so many people dying from HIV, I really had no close friends left in Los Angeles. And it was a very lonely situation.
You mentioned earlier on that you had been donating blood for research purposes. Of course, back when you started doing that, there was no test for HIV. When did you find out that you were also HIV positive?
In 1992, the ELISA test became available, and Max gave us the option to find out whether we were or whether we weren't. And I figured, okay, let's go for it, because I assumed that I would be negative.
Why did you make that assumption?
Due to my sexual practices, I didn't think I was in a high-risk group. But it turned out that the one encounter I can remember where the HIV can be transmitted, I obviously got it.
So this was in 1992. You had been giving blood for research, you said, since 1984. Did they?
1983 was my first blood donation.
Did they look back and see whether you were positive back then?
Yes, they did, and I was positive back then.
Goodness me. So now, doing a quick bit of math, you've been positive for 32 years, is that right?
Yes, something like that.
How did you react to the news when you were told you were positive?
I kind of went into a state of disbelief and haze.
Obviously, you weren't having any symptoms at that time, but eventually you did, didn't you?
I did have symptoms starting at about 93. I started breaking out into sweat, and like within 5 minutes, my suit would be completely soaked, and I'd have to go home and change.
Eventually, your boss at the movie studio found out that you were HIV positive. How did you find he treated you once he knew about your status?
You know, he just, you know, seemed to push me harder, and I think he wanted me out of the door. I got that feeling because he was always saying, oh, we need to make more profit this month, even though I had turned the profit around drastically.
And what happened with regards to your job?
Well, my primary physician sent me to a psychiatrist who did these tests and came up with that I was suffering from severe panic disorder, so gave me lots of medications to calm it down. But then the stress of the job became just too much. And I mentioned it to my doctors, and they wrote letters to the studio saying that I needed to go on short-term disability as per the U.S. Department of Health regulation. I presented these letters to my boss, and he took me into his boss's room, who was actually the president of the studio division, and they accused me of being a lazy SOB, etc., and I was just wanting to slack off. And, you know, that really infuriated me.
And eventually this led to your dismissal.
To dismissal and the fact that I had to have an interview with Human Resources. And one of the two in the Human Resources was another gay man. And they accused me of making sexual innuendos to two of my interns, which was completely untrue.
And this turns out that this was quite a common practice for employers who wanted to, I suppose, get rid of employees that they didn't want anymore.
Yes.
Well, once you had left the studio, luckily your healthcare benefits were covered by insurance, and eventually you were advised to start taking antiviral drugs for HIV, weren't you? When was this?
That happened in 1995, and that was the result of the MAC study, because they did intensive testing, not just taking blood, but questionnaires about your sexual activities, neurological testing, etc. And they had noticed that my neurological responses were going down, and they sent me to the neurologist who was part of the testing group. And she wanted to do an MRI and a spinal tap. The MRI came back and showed that the peripheral of my brain was all white, which means the HIV had came into my brain.
And luckily, the new types of medication had literally just been manufactured, these new protease inhibitors. Has living with HIV or having been on some of those earlier medications had any adverse effects on you over time?
Yes, one of the first main protease inhibitors they put me on was Crixivan. And you may have heard the term Crix belly. You know, the fat goes into your stomach and also forms a hump on your back, takes the fat out of your backside. And of course, they didn't know that when they first prescribed it. And after they saw the results of Crixivan, they immediately put people on to other medications.
And since then, you've just changed your medication just once, haven't you, in all this time?
Only once in all that time. When they tested the blood from 1983, I discovered that I had a very low form of the virus. It wasn't a virulent form. So having only been exposed once to the virus, I was fortunate that I was not exposed to any of the stronger forms of the virus.
Can I ask you, who or what has helped you the most to get through the last 3 decades, which with such strength and determination, Rhys?
I would say going to Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous has given me a lot of strength. And it's an oxymoron in the gay community, but I also belong to a church. And that has given me a lot of strength. There's a lot of gay people that go there, and the support is just incredible.
And finally, if someone is listening to this and is worried that they might be at risk or put themselves at risk from contracting HIV in the past, what advice would you give them?
Go and get tested immediately, and if you can, go on PrEP.
Well, Rhys, thank you very much for such an honest and open discussion about your HIV status. We really appreciate it, and wish you all the best in the future.
Well, thanks, Ivan, for calling. I appreciate it.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Ivan's favourite. That's Pentatonix.
Oh, you know how to get me going, don't you, Andy?
That's called Winter Hymnal. So
sounds like a drink for an athlete.
Winter Hymnal?
No, Pentatonix.
Oh. Right, okay, yes. Yeah, there is a reason why they call it Pentatonix. We won't go into it because it's time for the news, isn't it? So, is that yes? Yes.
Oh, yes, yes, but yes, cool. I'm all right, here we raring go. To go. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 3rd of December, 2015.
Bristol's trial of DAB services for local small and voluntary radio stations is now fully up and running. As of this weekend, a number of radio stations, which include members of the Shout Out family of stations, are available full-time on your digital set in the Greater Bristol area. Ujima Radio and Bradley Stoke Community Radio have now joined BCFM, Summer Valley Radio and the student station The Hub on this trial of small-scale stations, which is due to continue on DAB sets until May of 2016. The broadcast regulator Ofcom will be looking at the success of the trial run and in the medium term could introduce permanent licensing for small-scale stations on DAB radio in major cities.
According to a new poll carried out in Japan, the majority of people support changing the country's laws to allow same-sex marriage. Pink News reports that support for marriage equality was much higher in younger age groups, with over 70% of 20 to 40-year-olds backing the move. In November, 2 wards in Tokyo began issuing certificates recognising same-sex couples in spite of a constitutional ban. It's speculated by commentators that LGBT human rights will be revisited in the country in the run-up to the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo.
LGBT sports fans have expressed sadness that the new world boxing champion is Tyson Fury after a match on Saturday night, which was widely reported on sports media. However, what is perhaps less well known is that Fury has made numerous strange and bizarre proclamations about homosexuality. Fury claims that the end of the world is predicted by the legalisation of homosexuality. He further has remarked that the Bible predicts that the end times are coming when gay people have rights and women can get abortions. In fact, neither such prediction is made by the Bible. Fury comes from a traveller background, and some commentators have pointed out the irony of homophobia in a community which has its own problems with stigma and discrimination.
LGBT Campaign's website allout.com is raising funds to help a young gay man fleeing persecution in Tanzania. Amiri was nearly killed by his father when he came out as gay and has been seeking asylum in Switzerland, where his legal fees have been mounting. Now crunch time has come and he needs assistance from a legal team quickly or else faces deportation to Tanzania, where it's a crime to be gay. If you can help with legal fees, do visit our website and look for this news article where you can find a link to his campaign's page.
A broad coalition of groups across the political spectrum and including LGBT campaigners has condemned the activity of one of the strangest hate groups to recently emerge. Reports on a host of media, including the gay newswire Pink News, say that an unidentified number of young men are targeting women using the London Underground with badly written leaflets calling them fat and ugly and laden with abuse. The Times newspaper says that, ironically, one of the women so targeted by the group is below average size. She brought the issue to light online, where other so-called anti-fat activists have also targeted her with personal abuse. The police are interested in hearing from anyone who has any intelligence on or has experienced the activities of the hate group, who are described as young males dressed in the hipster fashion. The Pink News comments thread included the remarks that the internet has a dark side in that it has given voice to people who are motivated by prejudice and encouraged them to think that random abuse of others is acceptable in real life.
Media website Digital Spy says that Kylie Minogue has reunited 1980s pop impresarios Stock, Aitken and Waterman, getting the trio back in the recording studio together for the first time in 20 years. They've reunited to remix Every Day Is Like Christmas, a track from the album Kylie Christmas. The track was written by Chris Martin from the band Coldplay. Kylie's first four albums, released between 1988 and 1991, were produced by Stock, Aitken and Waterman. Visit our website for a listen to the Kylie Christmas track and get transported to Camp Heaven. And finally, it's just been announced that Tara Hudson, the trans woman originally placed in a male prison before being moved to a female institution, has been released from prison today. And it's currently unknown if there are any conditions attached to her release.
For these news stories and more, check out the website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and Lucy Potter.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, you may remember, gosh, I think it was perhaps even a couple of years ago, I interviewed Adele from Fascinating Aida, who had, I didn't know she was even trans, and she came out in her show with a brand new song called Prisoner of Gender. And with all the kind of media coverage of everything that's going on, we thought it was a bit fitting. So this is from the show, and it was exclusively given to us actually to play. We had the first ever play of it on a radio show. It was very kind of her to let us do this. So have a listen. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go, the lovely Adele from Fascinating Aida there with it's a very nice take on what was a bit of a sad story in her life. So
it's very good and quite a good laugh. Yeah, I was enjoying that.
Yes, I genuinely, when we went to see, we had absolutely no idea that she was transgender at all, and it wasn't until she got up on the stage and sung that me and Carl were just oh my god,
you didn't realise?
No, well we went around when she got hounded in the 80s by the press,
and of course she got a standing ovation when she sang that for the very first time in front of us, didn't she? Yes. She was fantastic.
So we hug her out. I bought DVDs just so that I could actually ask, but I did say, if I buy a DVD, would you possibly give me an interview? And she did, and it was wonderful.
It was great.
And she's not been very well recently, so if you're listening, Adele, we hope you're feeling better. So.
Yeah, get well.
So now I know someone who is feeling well, although probably a bit nervous because it's coming up for, gosh, well, it starts tomorrow, I think, doesn't it, Bobby?
It does, yes.
So, Bobby from the Bear Fiesta. Well, not Bear Fiesta, but we're hibernation.
Yep, Southern
Hibernation, the winter one.
So, now, is it, give us an idea how it all started. Is it a kind of offspring from the summer one? Is that what kind of happened?
It is. The original organisers that were doing Bristol Bear Fiesta for the last 10 or 11 years, about 7 years ago, decided to do a Christmas one in December, which me and my friends have now taken over. Just because there's nothing down this end of the country at this time of the year.
We should point out it's written Hibernation, in case you're trying to Google it or something. Because if you type in Hibernation, you'll probably get there's a wildlife.
I know, I read it and I was thinking like, oh, duvet day.
Now, what's going on? Is it a big one? Have we got a whole weekend of events going on this time?
It is, it's Friday through to Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So, it's all in the Gay Village in Old Market of Bristol.
Cool.
So we have all the main venues taking part. They've all got the DJs, live music, all free entry apart from one thing on Sunday evening.
The whole thing's free entry?
Sunday? Because once a month throughout the year, the Bear Bar put on a club night for us, which pays for the event to be held free when it actually comes to the event.
Oh, that's fantastic. So give us a kind of rundown then. What are we kicking off with tomorrow?
Well, in the evening, the bar's open around 7 o'clock, but In the Bear Bar, you've got DJ Daddy playing live Pop Nation night at 8 o'clock.
Pop Nation, cool.
So that's all the corny pop music that everybody likes to dance to. And then over the Palace at 10 o'clock, they've got DJ Will, who's a regular in there, playing the usual pop music as well, and whatever else you want to request.
Fab.
The Palace have drag artist, Martha Darth, at 11 p.m. on Friday, and just carries on, you know, late, really, they're all open to about 4 in the case of the Palace, or 6 a.m. in the case of the Bear Bar.
Oh, right, so extended licences then.
A late night one.
Yeah, and that's a lot later than normal. That's extended licences. It is, them,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
So cool. So, so on to Saturday. What's planned for that? There's stuff in the
Saturday,
day, I think, isn't
there? Daytime. We have a Christmas market in the Palace and the Bristol Bear Bar from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Cool. And shout out will be there, I hasten to add.
You will indeed, yes. So. You better be.
and he's got his shopping list ready.
I'll set the stool up and just go buy some stuff. So we can market 2 till 6 across the two venues. That's quite cool.
That's
nice.
Right. And then once the market finishes, the bars just stay open into the night then for the second club night.
Have they got anything special going on? Is DJ Daddy back or...?
Yeah, DJ Daddy will be there on a Saturday night in the Bear Bar with a harness club night. So if you want to dress up either in a harness or your Santa costume or your novelty t-shirts, whatever you want to join in with.
Santa in a harness.
A reindeer.
Well, Ivan's volunteering to be Santa in a harness.
Rudolph's already in a harness, isn't he? So he's pulling the sleigh.
Well, I should be there in my Santa costume, so...
So we know which one you are then. Cool. And is that, I'm guessing that's all going through till 4 or 6 in the morning,
it
kind of thing
be, yeah,
then, is it? Cool. So what's happening on Sunday then? You said that's the one that you're going to pay for.
Well, the Sunday daytime, it's just a case of do as you please, have your lunch and whatever. So obviously the retreat open for lunch and everything.
Yeah. Have you never been, by the way? The retreat do lovely roast dinners. Well worth a trip. So.
And then the bars are open from 3 p.m. for the Bear Bar, 5 p.m. for the Palace, just doing their usual music and that. But then it's 7 p.m. in the evening over at the Lab's Locker Room Sauna. The Raven Night are putting on a special extra night for us.
That's
£8 to get in over at the sauna.
Sorry, how much?
£8 to get in.
£8.
Cheaper than it usually is.
Cool.
And it's a special one, it's underwear, so whatever sort of floating underwear you'd normally wear at such an event. Feel free to
I'd love to know love
who
to
comes
know
up with these things. It's great, isn't it?
It's great, isn't it? So.
That would be the guys from Raven that came up with that.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me. Cool, well, it sounds like a really packed weekend, mate, and we hope it all goes well. We'll obviously be there on Saturday as well, but I'm sure some of the team will be in and out throughout the weekend. So, best of luck with it.
If there is good news.
What's that?
The weather's going to improve.
Oh, is it? Oh, good. It's going to be good weather.
No wet fur.
I know the event's up on our... I know the event's up on our website, but you guys have got your own as well, haven't you?
It is, yeah. It's bristolbears.co.uk.
Fab. Brilliant. Well, listen, thanks for phoning in, mate. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you out there.
And I shall see you Saturday at the market.
Indeed, yes. Cheers. So, no wet fur, honestly. Let's move and get. There's not really much I can say to that,
no,
is there?
Not really.
Anyway, you're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
Marvin Gaye, Get It On. That's by Charlie Puth.
I still want an explanation what it means by Let's Marvin Gaye.
Oh, come on. We explained this one to you off air last time. It's a sample from another song. And we'll tell you when we finish again. I'm not doing it on air. We haven't got enough time. But we do love you, Natalie. So I like that version, though. That's the Cahill radio edit, that one. It's kind of a bit funky and, you know,
very
upbeat,
funky.
So anyway, we're kind of, this is the end of our second show, all about World AIDS Day and the like, but we are actually going to carry it on, because the next Shout Out After Dark, which is our second show that we do, that goes out on the midnight slot here on BCFM and is also podcast, you can now get it on iTunes. It is available on Shout Out's feed now, since we moved to the new website.
Oh,
so
great.
Now, we've done a couple. The first one we did was all on the kind of fetish scene, wasn't it, and the guys, what it used to be like and what it's like now.
We squeaked in there in our leather, sat on rubber chairs.
You are making this up, Ace.
Talked fetish.
The last one actually had a fair bit of fetish, although we were actually talking about pride, weren't we?
That was a brilliant discussion with Dale and Darren and people that have been involved in pride since the 70s.
If you haven't listened to them and you want to, you can even go to, if you go to Shoutout's new website, shoutoutradio.lgbt, and click on shows, you can actually now filter the shows and find the ones that are the After Dark shows. If you want to catch up, they're up there now for a whole year, so you can go and catch up. But our next one, which coming first quarter of next year, is going to be on HIV and PEP and PrEP. And
yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you remember, we had Greg Owen in, didn't we, the other week, and he was talking about it. So we're going to have him back with a much more in-depth discussion, because the landscape's changed a lot as far as HIV is concerned, here in the UK and around the world. And we're going to have a healthcare professional in to talk about it as well, to back up and break up the myths. And lots going on.
It's still a bone of contention with some people. They don't know whether PrEP's a good thing or not.
Well, this is controversial,
You know, it's worth talking about. And it's if you missed last week's show, we did talk an awful lot in depth about it. It's well worth going back and having a listen. So, and also a big thank you to Reese as well for talking to Ivan.
Yes,
for today's show.
Fantastic.
That was lovely to hear.
It's great that we can have somebody like that tell his story, basically.
It's really good, and he had a really good story to tell. So it is great that we've got to talk to him.
There's still a lot of stigma. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, why do we still talk about AIDS? There's a lot of stigma out there, and still needs to be addressed.
Yep, which we try, but if you have any comments, do let us know. But that is it for this week. If you missed the first part of our two-show special, as I said, it's still available online.
And that's where this show will end up too. Just surf on over to shoutoutradio.lgbt and click on shows.
We'll be back next week live from 7. I haven't written what we're doing next week. What are we doing, Mary? Do we know?
Coping at Christmas.
Yes.
She threw her voice. She sounded like me then.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's very butch for you, Mary. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.